during the Nevi Yeshaya, we're up to what they call the 45th chapter, and the Nevi had described how Israel will be reestablished, and Hashem is sending his shepherd, the king Koresh, who will fulfill Hashem's desire to rebuild Jerusalem. Kamar Adonai Limshicho. So says Hashem to the one who he anointed. Hashem says, I've appointed him with greatness. Lechoresh asher chezakti vimino. Hashem says to Koresh, who I've held his right hand. This is an interesting chapter in Navi. I don't know of a lot of places where Chazal speak about this chapter. This is one of those places where the Navi seems to be telling us by name who would do something in the future. If we take the name Koresh as being like Avimelech, Paro, a term of royalty, that Hashem is talking to the king of the Persian Empire, that's easier to digest. Just as we find in the Torah, it says, Ve'ile ha-melachim asher malachu be'eretz Edom lifnei meloch melech bivnei Israel. The following kings were kings in Edom before there was a king in Israel. So if you understand that to mean before Shaul became king, then the Torah is telling you who would be king from the days of Moshe or from the days of Esav all the way through Shaul HaMelech. So some commentaries say no. One opinion says the king is Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Moshe was recording in the Torah who would be kings in Edom from the days of Esav until Moshe. The Pasuk in Torah says, Vayhi Vishurun Melech, there was a king in Israel, and that's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is referred to as a king. So that one opinion says that that's what the Pasuk means, that the following were the kings in Edom prior to there being a king in Israel. It means they were the kings before Moshe Rabbeinu became king. Others want to say that in Edom they had a cycle. Every eight kings rotated these names. So they'd go through the eight names and then the next eight kings would have those names again. Just like in Egypt, all the kings were Pharaoh. So here you had names, Hadad, Ben-Hadad. You had eight names that kept rotating. But the commentaries were bothered. We have free will. Can it be that the Torah is telling me by name who's going to be king in the future? So over here too, if we understand the term Koresh to be the Persian king, so Hashem's saying there will be a Persian king who will take the Jews back to Israel.
Say that the rug takes a different view. Koresh is Persian for the dog, created by dogs.
Okay.
Sound like it's his, only he was given that name.
I'm trying to think because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah assumes that there were multiple kings with the name Koresh. I'm just trying to think if... I think in Daniel you have to say that. I don't think you need the Gemara for that. Meaning, I think working with Daniel, Zechariah, Ezra, and Nehemiah, you have to say that. That the name Koresh became a name of the kings. I don't think so. But I'm saying if Seder Adarot tells us there was a Persian king named Koresh, because he was brought up by the dogs, it could still be that later generations used that name. But I have to sit down and look at the text, meaning I always learned it from the vantage point of what Chazal told us. You're suggesting there might be two opinions in Chazal as to whether there was more than one king named Koresh. I have to sit down and look at the text more closely. So Hashem turns to Koresh Asher Echezakti Vimino. Hashem says, I've held his right hand, so to speak, I've empowered him. Lerad Lefanav Goyim, that he will be able to subdue nations. Umotnei Melachim Afateyach. And I will weaken other kings. Literally, the pasuk says, "Motnei," the waist of the kings, I will open up, which is a way of saying I'll open their belt. People used to put on a sash. In the sash, they wore their belt. And one of the signs that a person was not going to war, they were not empowered, was the opening of the sash. It was a way of showing I'm disarming. I'm not able to go to war. So the pasuk that says Motnei Melachim Afateach, I will open the waist of the kings, is another way of saying I will disarm them. I will weaken them in the face of Koresh. Yes.
A sash is a belt.
Yeah, sash is like a belt. It's a little bit higher than the belt. It's from the waist up. Liftoach lefanav dilatayim usharim lo yisageru. Hashem says, I will open gates, the gates of Babylon before him, and the gates will not be closed before him. And this is what we discussed earlier in the week, that Seder Adoros describes a war where Persia actually killed out much of Babylon. And we said that archaeologists have found an arch that describes a peaceful ascent of Persia into Babylon, where the Babylonian people welcomed the Persian king. And we discussed earlier in the week that it's not clear that you can trust such an arch. An arch can be a description that the Persians wanted should remain for history of how they ascended into Babylon. It doesn't necessarily reflect the truth. But the pasuk over here also describes that Hashem will open the gates before Persia, before Koresh. Again, do we take that literally? Do we not? That's a good question.
What about the Jews that went, were living in Persia? According to the first, our understanding, the original understanding, which is that it was not peaceful, what happened to the Jews who lived there? Assumedly, they went to Babylon as well.
And?
Another way around.
Right. Rabbi Wine claims that it was the Persian Empire that freed the Babylonian slaves. That the Jews in Babylon who were enslaved after the exile with the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash were actually freed by the Persian Empire, which again is backed by the archaeological finds that describe the freeing of slaves. Ani lefanecha eilech vahadurim ayasher. Hashem says, I will go before you, and I will make your path flat and straight. Daltot nechusha ashaber. I will break down the copper doors that stand in your way. Uvrichei varzel agadeya. And the metal bolts I will uproot so that you can make your way into the cities. Vinatati lecha otzerot choshech. I will give you the treasures of the darkness, which literally is a reference to the treasure chest that the Babylonians had hidden in dark places. Umatmunei mistarim. I will give you all the different treasures that the Babylonians hid. Leman teida. I want you to recognize, connect to the idea. Ki ani Adonai hakore v'shimcha Elohei Yisrael. It is I who is calling your name, the God of Israel. So, earlier in the week, we learned in Seder HaDorot that when the Persian Mede Empire lost that major battle against the Babylonians, the Persians and Medes came to a conclusion, we lost. And it was only when Daniel interpreted the writing on the wall and the servant came and reported to them what had happened and brought to them the head of Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, that the Persians and Medes said to one another, we can do this, God's on our side. And if we do it, we'll let the Jews go back. So that story that we read in Seder HaDorot of the Persian Medes being encouraged to wage the war again against Babylon because of Daniel's interpretation to Belshazzar of the writing on the wall, well, that supports what we're saying here. The Navi says, I will let you be victorious in your military campaign against the Babylonians. I will let you take over their treasures. Leman teida. I want you to recognize that it is the God of Israel who's calling you. Leman avdi Yaakov. For the sake of my servant Jacob, the Yisrael, Bechiri, and my chosen one Israel. You have a job, Koresh. Send the Jews back home. Tell them to go rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Vayikra lecha bishmecha. I call you by name. Achanecha v'lo yedatani. I give your name. Everyone hears, I'm telling by name who should do it. V'lo yedatani. But you don't yet know who I am. You haven't yet come to the world. So that's one interpretation. What does it mean? V'lo yedatani. I call you by name, but you don't know me. The other interpretation is, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Hashem was disappointed in Koresh. Hashem says to Koresh, let's see, where is it? Hashem says to Koresh, Hu yivne iri, he will build my city. And Koresh doesn't do that. Koresh says, whoever wants to go rebuild Jerusalem is invited to go. I give you license. That's the concluding verses of the book of Divrei Yomim, Chronicles. And the opening verses of Ezra. The last two psukim of Divrei Yomim are identical to the first two psukim of Ezra. Ezra is a continuation of Divrei Yomim. Ezra wrote both. And in the end of Divrei Yomim, we have a Koresh. It's a good question, which Koresh is this? That says, whoever wants to ascend to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash is invited to do so. Our assumption is that that Koresh was the son of Esther.
Did he renege on his words then or something,
right? So that depends on which Koresh that was. If it was the first Koresh, not the son of Esther, so then that same Koresh reneged on his word and told them to stop building the Beit HaMikdash. This is a question I asked Rav Feinstein, that the Talmud says that Koresh was a disappointment because Hashem had told him, you go rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, and he told the Jewish people, whoever wants to go can go. But he didn't personally go. He should have gone to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. The Navi tells him in advance, I'm going to give you the Babylonian Empire so that you rebuild my home. Right. He's writing down a prophecy a century before Koresh is born, and Koresh is supposed to know about this. Yeah.
Read Yeshayahu and understand this.
Or the Jewish people will show him. Look, 100 years ago, it was prophesied that you will take down Babylon, so that you will rebuild the Beit HaMikdash.
People with the Tanakh isn't always
back then. It definitely was great.
Yeah. Saying the first Rashi on the Torah saying that why is the creation connected to the, like, why doesn't it just start from the Chodesh Elohim, and it's so that we know that, but it's specifically that we know that that Israel is ours, that the nations won't believe ours.
Okay, but this pasuk is different. That's what I began with. This is a unique pasuk in Tanakh. It gives you a name in advance of who would do something. That's not something you find other places. You see that the nations knew what Yirmiyo prophesied.
The Jews knew about the 70 years prophecy. That's so
right.
So hard to imagine that at least some, you know, with the destruction of the first Beit Hamikdash and the exile being so fresh, and it's something that the Babylonian takeover was something that affected the whole world. So, you know, it's so hard to imagine that in some of these things were resolved on a widespread level.
I think we also have to add to it that the beginning of the book of Daniel, that after Nebuchadnezzar's experience with the dream, and then again Dariavish's experience with his dream, and then Belshazzar with the writing of the wall. So people were forced to contend with the fact that there's a God of Israel, and they would be wise to try and find out what he's said. But coming back to here, so that's the question I asked Rabbi Feinstein. Why does the Gemara say that Koresh was a disappointment because he simply let the Jews go and he didn't go himself? Koresh stopped the building of the Beit HaMikdash. That sounds much more severe than the question of whether he himself went or not. I think, if I remember correctly, that he answered me that maybe what Chazal meant was, had he gone himself, he wouldn't have stopped it. His stopping it was a product of the fact that he was long distance, so then he gets word that they're trying to rebel against you, and he believed it. I think that's what he answered me, that one led to the other. But now, as we're learning this, I'm wondering whether we have to understand this as a reference to the first Koresh or the second Koresh. Which one are we talking about?
He did put his money in, at least freeing the Jewish slaves.
Okay. Okay. You give a person $50 billion and he gives you a donation of $50,000, so you say, it's very nice of you. Okay. And Hashem gave him, he had lost the war, and Hashem allowed him to win the war. So now he has all the wealth of Babylon, he has a phenomenal kingdom, and he recognizes this is unnatural. He recognizes the writing on the wall. He recognizes a miracle came out to help him here. Menemenet kelu parsin. Belshazzar is being told, Paras will take you down. So I don't think he gets that much credit for, you know, so he gave a little bit of money to the rebuilding of the temple. Very nice. Merkaz Arav was once promised, I don't remember how many million dollars, and then the donor decided he's not doing that, so he came and gave a check of $10,000. So the Rosh Yeshiva looked at it and said, no, thank you, and gave it back.
Well, at least gave you nothing.
No, he said, we agreed on something else. We spoke about it, we agreed. No, keep it. There's a saying, I'm saying, so Koresh was given all this wealth, and then he didn't do what he was supposed to do. And Hashem had told him before he became king, go rebuild the Beit HaMikdash.